name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Black Siren.
Very intimidating. And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion, commentary, and tears on the various episodes. So, my friend, Black Siren... Black. Can I just call you BS? BS sounds good.
Sure. That's fine, Red.
or BS or J. I'll pick a letter. I'll pick a random letter.
Okay.
J. How about J?
J That's is great.
I think you're hit on. So that may get a little confusing, but we'll work with it this week. All right. Well, I'm a little emotional. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk at all this week. I might have you just take over everything unless you can kind of help me get through this.
I think I can help you get through it. We were totally expecting this, though. It wasn't yeah, like it was that much of a surprise. Really, I mean, really.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I wasn't shocked. Just
out of all the people that died on all the shows that you and I podcast about, this was the least surprising. Arrow was mildly surprising. And I felt that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the most surprising. Or the most, not necessarily surprising, but the most emotional, I guess, maybe?
Oh, yeah. This one was pretty emotional. S.H.I.E.L.D. was, S.H.I.E.L.D. topped this one. So, and it's not like they're, you know, Game of Thrones where we can just expect every single character to die. So that's.
Oh, but, yeah, maybe multiple characters in any one episode. So
yeah, and one more than once, maybe. I don't know.
Jon Snow, you say?
So, all right, well, we'll get to that. I hate being right, I just have to say. But I guess we better kind of run down what this one was all about, talk about some news, and then we'll work through my feelings here.
Okay. Well, this was the train episode. Right. So it was episode 222, episode 22 of season 2 called Invincible, aired originally on May 17, 2016. A lot of people worked on this one. Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg came up with the story, while Brooke Roberts and David Cobb did the teleplay, and directed by our good friend Jesse Warren. He is back for another episode there. So as we find out here, the Metapocalypse is now upon us. Zoom's Earth 2 minions are running rampant around Central City with their green and purple and all the crazy things that they can do. But Barry does have his...
They do the green, they do the purple, they...
Whatever. But Barry's got his speed back, and he's feeling fine. Those bad guys don't stand a chance, but his friends think he's getting just a little too cocky for his own good. Since returning from the Speed Force, and of course that's all he talks about, you know, I was one with the Speed Force. And
he's dropping names here, huh? Or forces or something.
Right. That's an okay idea, Cisco, but have you ever been one with the Speed Force? I don't think so. So anyway, he thinks he's now invincible, hence the title that we just discussed. It's a little hard to argue with him, though, since it seems like he can do no wrong. But then, of course, Black Siren shows up and adds a little shake, rattle, and destroy Mercury Labs to the chaos. Barry has a little problem with Laura Lance's doppelganger and has to accept the help of newly converted Flash fan, Wally West. Yeah, Flash fan number one. I'm your biggest fan. Okay, so catching Siren proves to be actually a little trickier than the other lesser metahumans. I like that they're all lesser too, that, you know, it's like they just don't have what it takes because they're just, you know, background extras. They're not a lieutenant. though. You know, yeah, he only makes lieutenants of doppelgangers, I guess. So
yeah, but you can imagine, you know, that he would have people that he trusted that are, you know, people that get power and then just kind of a little power hungry and go crazy, you know, like it's the end of some championship basketball game. And just
those are the people that you want to have as your, like right hand minions, you know, like, you know, that you will give them a little power and then they will try to take you down. I mean, you know, it's like the Sith, right? You gotta, if you're bad guys, at least, I guess that's how they pick people. Anyway, with a little ingenuity and of course, very creative cosplay on Cisco and Caitlin's part, they do take care of Black Siren, so yay! Time for a well-deserved feast with your family and friends. I'm just hoping no unexpected guests show up.
You know, I've realized that a lot of the shows we watch would be a lot happier if we just didn't watch the last 2 minutes or so.
Well, that's weird. The show just cut off here right before the credits.
Yeah, that was sure good. I'm feeling good about myself.
That would be a great way to watch stuff. Also, why isn't Zoom called Vibe? Because he does seem to just vibrate through everybody. You know, it's I mean, I understand why he's Zoom because he's also very fast, but seems like he's got
it would fit both. MO. He would be like, you know, like, hey, you think you're Vibe? Watch these Vibe powers.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm not sure why Vibe is called Vibe, to be honest with you. So that's not a good. Not a good name, but we go with it because we like our boy Cisco. But
welcome back to 1983.
All right, I'm still waiting for the breakdancing. It's got to make its way in there somewhere.
If they can find a good way to put it in there, just as some kind of like, you know, they go to a dance club again, and Cisco's like, "Hey, I'm going to bust out some breakdancing moves here," you know.
You know,
that
even
would
if they,
be fun.
That would be good. That would be good. Even if they put it on Chronicles of Cisco, I would love it on the show.
You
but
know
that
what?
Would be
yeah.
Okay.
Chronicles would be a good place for that too. Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. Well, we have a little bit of news that is flashy and DC related. So I wanted to share that real quick here. Let's see. Now, are you into going to comic book shops and buying multiple copies of comic books and likely a few that maybe you haven't read before or don't buy often? Do you do that?
I occasionally, not as much as I used to, just because they're very expensive now.
It does get expensive.
I used to buy almost everything, but yeah, it is not the same way anymore. But I do buy new things usually in trade paperback form, though.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, mm-hmm. Back in the day, I would buy comics that were part of a bigger story, you know, a la Eclipso or Wave Rider or, you know, any one of those things, mm-hmm. comics that I would never buy before. And then I started getting into them, darn it. So it totally worked on me. I'm a big sucker. I have PT.
And then you have to go back and buy the back
shop.
Issues and all that kind of stuff.
I never quite did that. I was in college. So I couldn't afford that. But, well, you know what? We're going to be doing that over here on the CW. Now that they're, you know, DC Comic Book Central. And there's really little arguing that right now. They have, I wouldn't say promised, but they have hinted at strongly suggesting a four-way crossover between the DC comic shows. Well, I shouldn't say the DC comic shows, but some of the comic shows that are in the same universe-ish over there. We got Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and Supergirl.
Yeah. Normally I would have been excited. If Supergirl had premiered on CW this season, that would have made me excited. But I'm going to take the wait-and-see approach just because we screwed around so much with Legends of Tomorrow at the beginning of this season with the different shows, more so Arrow than Flash because it's kind of the, you know, it's the oldest show on the network as far as the DC shows go. So I think they get kind of first crack at stuff, but I don't want them to screw anything up.
I'm with you, and I always kind of take a wait and see, both good and bad. You know, I don't like to judge things harshly or get too excited about things. But I will say this in kind of defense of the idea, they don't have to set up Supergirl. You know, they don't have to spend multiple episodes on setting up a brand new show that nobody's seen. They just have to figure out some way to connect them since we've established that she's in a different universe. So,
right.
With Legends
of
Tomorrow,
would,
you know,
they'd flash over to Flash, or, you know, or breach over to Flash, and then Arrow and everybody else could meet her or something like that.
Yep. And the one thing I'll say, especially for Arrow, is don't spend too much backstory setting this crossover up and wasting good airtime on things that aren't really part of the major overall story. So just that stuff worries me. But you know what? I'm looking forward to it. I'm going out in optimistic to see what they have to do with it.
That's a good way to, it's a good way to be.
I will say, and we'll talk about this later on, but something that we saw in this episode may help them get to that storyline in some point, but I'll talk about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
all right. So now one other little piece of news that is, like I said, DC related, but I thought it was important to share, had to do with the DC movie universe. So, they don't call it the DC Cinematic Universe. That's a Marvel thing, isn't it?
Right. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the DC Murderverse, I believe, is what people have coined it.
The DC darker and grittier verse is what it is. All right. Well, they've had, dare I say, issues or discussions going on in the direction of where the movies are going, and they have a lot of movies planned.
Right. They only have one issue. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, just Zack Snyder. If I sound a little soured on the current take of DC's films, then I am expressing myself properly.
Yeah, well, and you're not alone. I mean, and I am definitely with you in that as well, because it's taken characters that I really enjoy and turned them into something that, it's not really so much for me, and that's cool if it is for people, but I'm kind of cold on the whole idea. But they may be turning it around a little bit in a different direction, because now somebody else is involved in helping them make these decisions, and it's somebody that we would recognize both in comics and on the DC TV shows, is Jeff Johns.
Yeah. And that's cool. People have said that the DC films need someone, a creative type individual that can oversee everything in the same way that Kevin Feige does over at the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, Jeff Johns, people also are very polarized by Jeff Johns. You either, a lot of people either really like him or really hate him. I think some of his best work was done on the Green Lantern comic series several years ago, but a lot of people think that some of the stuff that he comes up with is just pretty flat and trite too. So again, it's kind of a wait and see thing. It sounds like it could be an interesting idea, and he's really pushing that. What's he talking about? The hope, optimism, and legacy, which is something that DC is trying to set up with their new DC Rebirth project as well, which we've talked a little bit about on our Arrow and our Flash shows here.
Well, maybe he'll balance things out a little bit.
Right.
Bring things towards the middle. Now that we have two kind of extremes, maybe, but I'll be interested to see how things change based on where they are right now. But anyway, that's news, and that's news to watch. So we'll keep watching it. All right, well, let's get into talking about this, even though, I'm stalling, I think.
But, you're stalling?
I was stalling, so we don't get to the emotional things that we need to talk about here.
But, let's just talk about that to start with.
the emotional things?
Yeah, start with, whenever there's a been something that was hard to deal with, I always thought that it would just be a good thing, just to get it over with.
That's
Arrow this week. I'm sorry. I'm getting all my shows confused here.
Yeah, that's kind of my usual attitude about things, except mine is usually just avoid them at all costs. That's similar, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good coping mechanism.
Okay, all right, excellent. So let's talk about the title, Invincible. Obviously, talked about Barry's overconfidence. That was really what this was implying, because that's kind of how he was thinking he was.
True, but I don't even know that overconfidence is like the best way to describe it. I know that the characters on the show saw that in him, and especially Iris. She was the one that kept talking about how he thinks he's invincible. But as I mentioned in the little brief at the beginning, it wasn't necessarily overconfidence. Other than having kind of the fatal flaw of, you know, his heroism, you know, there's always something that the hero, you know, they have a blind spot or they have a weakness to something, either, you know, a physical object like kryptonite or whatever, or, you know, some other kind of emotional baggage that they carry.
Right.
He wasn't really too overconfident, maybe in the confrontation with Black Siren, due to the fact that it was so easy for him to kind of deal with the rest of the metahumans. But I really enjoyed seeing a confident Barry Allen, one who was not just, oh my gosh, I'm not fast enough and stuff. I mean, we've been seeing a lot of that. So this is the Flash that if you tell me, describe kind of your perfect Flash moments, that's the one that we saw in tonight's episode. He knows what he's doing. He's confident in his powers, and he just goes and gets it done.
Yeah, and he's having fun with it, you know.
Yeah,
which is kind of like, and traditionally there are a lot of times that Flash is like that in the comics, and I agree with you. I like those times as well. So, but it was a little bit of cockiness this week because there was still that huge threat out there. So it really wasn't the time and place for that confidence, you know? And I think that's kind of what the team was seeing as well. But you're right. It was more than, or not quite overconfident so much. He just, I guess that's maybe perspective, you know? Yeah, those minor metahumans aren't hard to deal with and you can go take care of those, but let's keep concentrating on, you know, the big giant mega killer man that is running around the city. So plus, you know, he still has your friend Caitlin. Don't forget that, Mr. Smiley.
Right. Well, and from everybody else's perspective, it's very difficult. But of course, I mean, part of it may just be sort of a likened to an adadrenaline rush because of his time in the Speed Force. He, as he said, he knows that the universe is on their side. So I'm like, why shouldn't he be confident? Because he's talked to the Speed Force. He totally knows that it gets him. But of course, what I think he fails to realize is that isn't Zoom tapping into the Speed Force now as well? I mean, the Speed Force, while having some, what do I want to say? You know, it's kind of alive, right? It was talking to him.
A consciousness almost?
Yeah, some kind of consciousness. It is a fundamental aspect of the galaxy, you know, like gravity, I guess, going back to the explanation we got last week. And so, you know, couldn't just anybody tap into it. And, you know, regardless of your motives, you know, like bad people can use gravity just like good people. So couldn't they both use the Speed Force? That sounds really stupid now that I've said it out loud.
I know what you're saying though. I know what you're saying. So like, yeah, just, but, and I think you're right. I kind of like the idea of the adrenaline rush coming back from it. And he's seeing that he has access to that and how powerful it is. And that he was able to overcome this grief that he's had for so long about his murdered parent, and now he can move on. Oh no, wait, hold on.
hang on, we'll get there. It's okay.
I know. Okay. Anyway, so I like that though. That, and maybe it was slightly confident. Not that he is necessarily bigger and stronger than Zoom, but just that, you know what? I know we don't have him yet, but we're gonna get there. We're gonna do it, you guys, and we can do this. So it was more like, not so much a cockiness, but just the idea that, you know what, it's all going to work out, man. It's everything has a silver lining. I think we're going to be okay here.
Well, and also probably it has, you know, it's like sometimes you might have a big project that you're working on for school or for work or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can just look at it and go, oh my gosh, and I have no idea how I'm going to do this, right? And can just get you down. But there are other people that look at it and go, okay, well, yeah, it's going to take a while, but look, okay, I'm just going to take this step and I'm going to do this. And then as soon as I finish that, I'll be able to do this and this. And then I'll take those two little things and do it. Those are both really easy steps. And I just have to keep churning and doing that kind of stuff, which is kind of what he was doing here. He was just kind of churning through all the lower level people, getting them out of the way so that he could concentrate on having to face Zoom. But obviously Zoom, whether he really understands Barry, he says he understands Barry. And right now Hunter's just nuts. And the fact that he keeps calling him Jay, that Barry keeps calling him Jay.
Yeah.
That's just got to piss him off.
I noticed that too. Why does he keep calling him Jay though? Is this that that's how, the, I guess, you know what? No, I take that back. I know why he keeps calling him Jay, because to him, Jay Garrick is not who Jay Garrick is to you and me. To me, right. Jay Garrick is a hero. You know, right. I mean, that's, I would never call Zoom Jay once I found out that's who he was, you know.
And he was introduced him, you know, he had introduced himself as Jay. So that's kind of how Barry knows him. It's like,
right.
It's like when, you know, someone, I've actually had some friends that have changed their name, and dang, it is very difficult to think of that person with a different name. You know, not just like a married name. Like I'm talking like they changed their first name.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, wow, okay. And every time I think about them, that's not who I see. Like, or that's not what comes to mind, because I've known them since like high school or something like that. But they want to be known by another name. Okay, well, you know, I'm sorry, but it's hard. Yeah. So I can, you know, I can understand.
No, I can see why he would do that for sure. But you mentioned Zoom and he's talking to Barry, telling him he can't beat him.
Yeah, I mean,
is this why? I mean, is this overconfidence or cockiness or, you know, sure of himself? Is that part of the reason why? Because he's got this positive attitude and he refuses, or I don't know if he refuses, but he doesn't make tough decisions. You know, he tries to still be on the moral side of things.
Sorry. So is that why he can beat Zoom or why he can't beat Zoom?
Why he can't beat Zoom. That's what Zoom's saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you're Zoom's, always playing the hero, right?
Yeah. Zoom's saying that, you know, his energy is focused on making sure that everybody remains safe, you know, and that there basically are no acceptable losses. Something that, you know, Zoom has realized. Well, I mean, he's just a sociopath. You know, anyway, so any of his explanations really, you know, I don't think hold water.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I mean, nothing you can, and certainly he says that kind of stuff to get under Barry's skin. You know, I mean, that's why he's doing it. But is it true? Can Barry stop him? I mean, what? Because I mean, we're assuming that Barry is the hero.
Turn in next week,
he's assuming that, or I guess we're assuming that he won't kill. I think. So can he stop Zoom without killing him? I mean, is there a way? Yeah, you're right. We'll see next week.
That's, yeah. Can he stop Zoom without killing him? Wow. Probably. I guess that is kind of the crux of this whole philosophical argument here. I would think that there's probably, if Barry has this much confidence, which has been shaken now, greatly with the end of the episode. But if Barry can maintain that, he probably will be able to tap into the Speed Force in some fashion. And, you know, maybe he can use that to remove Zoom's powers or something like that. But it's obviously you know, the bad guys in these kind of things, they want to prove that the heroes are no better than them. You know, they basically, if the hero has a, you know, a moral code, I think what the bad guy wants to do is wants to reduce that hero to their level, right? And force them to break their moral code. So like if Barry's thing is he won't kill anybody, all right, well, so Zoom's going to work really hard to make sure he kills somebody, even if it's Zoom, I think, because that will prove that Zoom was right and Barry is no better than him, you know, and that they both are made from the same, you know, incident or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he's, of course, like you said, he's a psychopath. So it's not enough for him to just say, kill Barry. You know, he's got to humiliate him. He's got to destroy him mentally, right? Mm-hmm. So, and which is why he ends up doing what he does.
Right, and friendships and whatever else, he can just make as much chaos as he can, I
guess. So, yeah. All right, well, more to say on him, of course. Next week is the final battle. Interesting little trailer. I'm not sure what to think of the trailer, but...
Can I give you just... I'm assuming most people have probably seen the trailer at the end of the episode, but I don't think what I'm going to do here is going to, you know, really spoil anything, because I don't know how it can spoil, like, what the ending's going to be. But it appears that, you know, Barry has this traumatic moment at the end of this episode, and he's so upset, and he screams at Zoom, and then Zoom's like, race you to the top of the tower? Okay. And that's, they have a race. So that's an hour long episode next week.
There's something else going on there.
Oh, okay. I just was kind of going by what they showed.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was kind of shocked that they showed that. So, I may come back to some of this stuff, because it's kind of deep stuff with what Barry was showing us throughout this entire episode. But I thought it was really interesting kind of reflection or contradiction, or I don't know what you'd call this, but the words, you know, they don't always come. But of Barry's attitude and confidence with Caitlin's return, because Caitlin has gone through this extraordinarily traumatic experience that,
yeah,
you know, you can't even imagine. I mean, it's very few people have ever had anything close to that. And she's pretty messed up in this episode, which I thought Danielle Panabaker actually played really well. I mean, she seemed very
shaken.
What's a like PTSD kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, traumatized.
And she did pull it together toward the end to dress
up. I thought she actually did pretty amazing given the state that she is supposed to be in, even to a degree that I was thinking maybe it's a plant. You know, like Zoom's done something to her. But, he gave her that choice last week, which we assume, you know, she says Zoom let her go, which if we just go by the choice, he's like, you can stay or you can go. But, you know, that's your choice. So I guess he let her go technically.
Well, that's letting her go. I mean, she had the opportunity to not be there anymore without him stopping her. So, I mean, that's letting her go. But, what do you mean a plan? You mean like that's not really Caitlin?
No, like, you know, he's traumatized her enough that he's put a post hypnotic speed suggestion in her head I don't know. You know, just that like she's, you know,
do you think that's what the little ghost images of him are? Is that just her mind playing tricks on her? Is she just so freaked out now that he might come back?
Fast he is, I was thinking it really could just be him showing up there and vibrating so fast that he's showing himself to her, but not to anybody else. But looking at the episode kind of as a whole now, you know, that, because that was what I was thinking when I first watched it. I think it is just kind of, like you said, like a PTSD sort of a flashback of her trauma with Zoom. She just, you know, she sees him everywhere, like out of the corner of her eye or reflected in a piece of glass or something like that.
Well, and you can't deny that that's a rational fear. I mean, because he really could pop in at any moment, whenever he chose. I mean, I know they kind of act like they're safe there at Star Labs or Barry X, like they're all okay right there. But honestly, I mean, it's not like they could keep him out of anywhere. He might not know about the little time vault area, but other than that, do you agree? I mean, he can vibrate through stuff. He can go wherever he wants. He hasn't shown that he has any kind of limitations. So,
right. I mean, it's like when a few episodes ago, when Joe pulls a gun on him and, you know, it's like, no, I mean, if he's as fast as we see him being and as fast as, you know, faster than Barry, it's, yeah, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. No one's safe wherever they are, though they can't keep that. I don't think the show can sustain that level of intensity.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, literally, the show would be over in a couple episodes if it was everybody moved that fast and that's how it worked.
Right, right. Well, hey, and look, realistically, if I was in that situation of Joe or any of the police or whatever, yeah, maybe I'd get a lucky shot in. But I mean, it's like I got to do something. I can't just stand there.
Yeah, so, I know. You do what you think you have to do, but in the end, really, how effective would it be?
Really, so, it wouldn't, yeah. No, but... All right, so I hope Caitlin is okay, but also I hope she's not okay immediately, because I do want this to kind of stick around a little bit, that in a realistic way, that she doesn't just get happy. I mean, she's gone through so many bad things, as her fiance dying, coming back, and then dying again, and then meeting a new guy and falling in love, and then finding out he's evil, and you know, so I mean. She needs something good to happen to her, although I don't want her to be too happy, because that would mean she'd be dying soon.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with all that. And I think they'll keep her that way. Again, there's only one episode left, so she'll probably be fine by the beginning of next season, though there may be, you know, some link, depending on what really happens in the end of the in the end of the season here, she may continue to be traumatized in some fashion. Yeah.
I'll predict that she stops dating for a while. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah. Is that a pretty safe bet?
Yeah, maybe she'll Iris will set her up with the editor from the CCPN.
No. Just turn
Scott! On. Scott!
He's going to be like Gorilla Grodd in a suit or something, but I'm in disguise. All right, so let's talk about our buddy Sisko. He's Sisko, he always has a clever quip, and he tries to stay positive and keep fighting the good fight here. And he was worried about Barry too, but in the end, you know, when he and Caitlin had to pull through and dress up as their doppelgangers here, when they were trying to get away,
worst plan ever.
He seemed to have unlocked the next level of his powers.
Yeah, it was, you've now reached power level 2.
Yeah, I don't know, did he kill a boss, or did he did he go to the, you know, the online store and upgrade, or I don't know, but he's discovered some of his new vibe power. Now, was that a similar type of thing that we saw Reverb do on Earth 2?
Yeah, it appeared to be. I mean, it basically like firing a vibrational wave or something that, you know, can knock somebody down. Very cool. I like that. And I like that it's very much along the same lines as the way that he was discovering his other vibing power. It's not something that he can control necessarily. It's something he has to feel, and it's more an instinctual something that, you know, it's when he's concentrating on it, it's too much, right? He's blocking his chi or whatever.
It's and like so trying to get rid of hiccups. You can't do it, right, if you think about it.
Right, right. And so he relaxes. And then he's able to, boom, and then he's able to tap into, you know, whatever the source of his powers is, the
right.
vibrations of the universe.
I loved that didn't end up saving them, you know, that they just showed it to us and then he couldn't do it again. But
right.
And on a side note, I think Hiccup is probably the next big bad guy next season. I think Hiccup, he's got Hiccup powers. I think that's what.
Oh, okay.
I think I saw that online somewhere. But in addition to his new little vibe ray, he's... He saw something.
He saw dead birds.
Dead birds. So,
which I kept saying, actually, my son was saying, "Oh, they're dead canaries." I'm like, "They're not canaries. They're like pigeons." But you know, because of Black Siren being on and that being the doppelganger for Black Canary, who's dead, that seemed like it made sense. But then we kept seeing like birds flying into sides of a skyscraper and crashing to the ground. And
yeah. And you know, I mean, dead birds is not really a difficult symbol to interpret. I mean, when you see birds falling down, you know that something bad is coming. It's like a warning. You know, they used to send canaries into coal mines, and if they died, you know, you didn't go in.
Right. It's also, what was it? The Happening. Is that what happened in The Happening, that the birds all died?
Oh, really, was that bad? Something like that?
M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I can't remember. I did see that once. But also in literary stories.
Circles?
The circles. That was a bad sentence. In books, dead birds they represent the ending of something and the beginning of something new. Now that something new isn't always a good thing, but
interesting. Okay,
he didn't just see one bird when he vibed again. He saw multiple birds, and then he saw what looked like Earth 2. We could tell by the monorail, which we still haven't mastered here. The monorail.
Monorail.
Yeah, unless you've. We're not real good at that unless you live in Florida or Anaheim.
Right.
Springfield, exactly. Kind of. So we knew that was Earth 2, and it looked like it was ending, or he speculated that it was ending.
He speculated that it was splitting from pole to pole.
I don't know how he knew that. How did?
I don't know. It seemed like they were doing the safety dance, I guess. But yeah, it's so. At that point, I kind of reanalyzed the whole bird thing. And, I was thinking, when you get, when they're natural disasters, like when there's an earthquake or something, is about to happen, animals sense it. All of a sudden you'll have like a bunch of birds freaking out and doing weird things, kind of like in Hitchcock's The Birds, which Sisko referenced. So maybe he kept seeing these birds because he was vibing Earth 2 and, all sorts of animals are going to be acting weird, like flying into the side of a building because there is some thing coming that is destroying the world, So that was kind of my thought.
Not of course, but I'm guessing that we will see this next week and maybe even get a little explanation of what exactly is going on here. I think.
Yeah, another cliffhanger, it seems like, kind of possibly. Like the singularity that showed up at the end of season one.
I'll just quickly speculate that this has something to do with the race between Flash and Zoom. That's my guess.
Okay.
That causes this and somehow. I'm also guessing that there is a possibility that in some way.
Oh, like they tear the fabric of space apart.
Something, yeah. Wow. That's one possibility. It might be something Zoom's doing, or it might be something unrelated that we don't know about yet. But also, I'm wondering if there's a possibility that now Earth 1 and Earth 2 are going to somehow be combined, or there'll be some kind of a crossover, or
crisis. That's a good word.
Earths. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's more like a crisis on a couple of Earths.
Okay. Well, we only saw, the two, but there could be more, maybe Earth S.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good
now,
point.
I do doubt that idea, because of when they wrote this episode compared to when we found out Supergirl was on CW.
It would work great because then that would be how they could explain National City now looks like Vancouver.
Vancouver crashed into National City and now it just took over, right?
Wah. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that. But anyway, that's just an idea. Well, I don't know how much of that we'll find out next week. I mean, they've got to wrap up the Zoom thing, but I guess we'll see.
I do like the idea of a crisis on Infinite Earths, and this was something I discussed with some friends, but I do have to say on a television budget, I am wary of them really trying to do it justice.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I would rather see, storylines that they can accomplish, even if they're like, five or six or 10 episode arcs or something like that, where they pick a villain and they have some problems and make things that the heroes have to overcome. But boy, I mean.
Yeah,
Crisis on Infinite Earths is really complex.
Very complex. I don't think they would do that in this episode. And maybe they'll set it up in this episode if that's where they're going next season.
Oh, it could be an entire season, I guess.
Exactly.
But,
yeah, I don't think that's quite what they're doing. But I do think they'll use it to explain some kind of connection between Earth 1 and Earth 2. And I think it's going to be the basis of a lot of characters recurring between the two places, and I think that the Man in the Iron Mask is going to be one of those, whoever that ends up being, which we will definitely find out next week. I mean, they've said that. No, they have said that.
They did say that. Okay.
I'm pretty sure he will be revealed next week. All right. Well, hey, speaking of characters crossing over here, let's talk a little bit about Laurel Lance. Black Siren is who she's playing, the doppelganger of Black Canary, only Laura Lance alive on this Earth. What'd you think of her? How'd she do?
I thought she was deliciously fun. I thought it was a good chance for Katy Cassidy to do something a little bit different than she had done on Arrow. And it seems like, hey, you know, I'm sorry we killed you off on Arrow, but hey, come over and play on Flash, and you can be a you can be a evil villain from the alternate Earth. My wife wasn't paying it complete attention, so when they captured her, they were like, why didn't they just, like, why did they have to lock her up like that? Why didn't they just take her necklace? And I'm like, she's a metahuman. She has these powers naturally, like the real, quote, sorry, the real Black Canary, by meaning the comic incarnation.
Of course, right.
And she doesn't use a little, you know, synthesizer thing that, like, Cisco built for her. No. So.
And she had the choker, but which she has in the comics, but that's where Laurel's is.
Yeah, and a nice homage to the fishnets with the fishnet top or arm sleeves that she had.
She must have been wearing that choker when the particle accelerator accident happened. So that's how she got her power, see?
Possibly.
All right, well, why is she destroying Mercury Labs? What was the was there some reason for that? I never really understood the motive behind that attack.
Yeah, it seemed like Barry was concerned about that, but I don't know, maybe Zoom just, you know, because it seemed like Zoom was telling her what to do, right?
Yeah.
He had given her instructions. So he just knew that, oh, you know, Barry knows people over in Mercury Labs, so that seems like a perfectly good place to...
Could be. Or if you're going to try to find a place, you know, try to find a way to stop Zoom, where else to do it other than a place like Star Labs or Mercury Labs or, you know, places where they can investigate how to stop you, you know? So, I mean, that could be too.
Right. I don't think it was like a setup, like, again, like Barry or Tina McGee might have been talking about where they, you know, that he was trying to use it as a distraction to get something. But, yeah, so I really just think it was, you know, because Tina was there and they knew that would cause a problem and it would distract Barry and stuff like that.
Could be.
So.
Could be. A great scene where he was saving her. Running through the rubble up, you know, down and catching her. And I always worry when he catches somebody that fast that he's going to, you know, snap their neck or something.
I apologize, Josh, because I thought the CG in that was actually pretty bad.
I'm with you. I hear what you're saying. The quality, the realism of it probably wasn't up to movie quality. Didn't bother me a bit. I thought it was fun. It was so great to kind of see him running like that and catching her in that way made it more exciting. So I know what you're saying.
The idea was cool. The execution was lacking.
Yeah. I mean, I'll go with you on that. I still loved it.
Okay.
So I really can look past those things. I mean, there's been a couple times when it was just a little too obvious for me, but this one didn't bother me at all. I just love that idea. It reminded me a lot of the season finale last year when he was running up into the gigantic singularity on the rubble of the building. And but anyway, yeah, I hear you, but I did still love it a lot. So another thing I wanted to ask you about as far as how it was executed was Wally.
Yeah.
So I thought that was
a little dubious when I read the little preview of this episode where it's like, you know, and Wally takes to the streets to help the Flash. And I'm like, oh, well, that's got to mean he's got to have his powers because how else does he go about helping the Flash? But I felt he was being reckless at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, sure.
Obviously. But who would have thought he would have come to rescue the Flash in his, what is like, Dodge Charger or whatever.
His silver and red Dodge Charger.
Oh, was there red on it too?
Yeah, there was a red stripe on it.
Oh, okay.
Which really made me just shout out loud at the TV. I'm like, yeah, nice, nice. That was a nice, I think it was a nice little homage to one version of the Kid Flash suit.
Yeah, yeah, so, definitely. I also like that he's taking kind of a cue from the Felicity Smoke bringing down bad guys with a vehicle, which
that worked great.
We've seen on Arrow a couple times, but
hey, when you don't have powers, you do what you can.
Right. And here's Black Siren monologuing. And, hey, are you watching? Make sure, you know, you're standing in the middle of the road. I mean, you can't really expect to stand in the middle of the road and not get hit by a car. I mean, come on. So,
yeah.
But that was great. Very unexpected. I was taken aback by that. And just, again, little things that I see that I recognize that I think are nice. You know, people are thinking about stuff. There was even a dent in the back of Wally's car where he hit her. You know, they didn't have to do that because, of course, they didn't actually hit anybody with the car. But they were like, oh, yeah, we'll put a little crease in the back by the trunk on the driver's side where he clipped her. And as they drive away, you see this little dent. And I was like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool.
That is cool. That is cool. And also, Wally now knows who Barry is. He's been outed.
Yeah, we discussed that possibility. I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, definitely. So three more people this week found out who Barry was. One was Tina McGee, who she kind of really knew that because
yeah,
she's a scientist. Come on, who are you trying to kid? But then Wally and Jesse both found out at the dinner.
Jesse didn't know? Jesse knew.
I don't think. Did she?
I think Jesse knew.
Oh.
Now I'm second guessing myself now that I'm saying it, but I'm pretty sure Jesse knew.
I was going through my my list, but I don't think I had her in there, but maybe I missed her. I didn't have her.
I now have to go back and review, but either way, Wally knows for sure. So
I have, yeah, Harrison Wells from Earth 2 found out in episode 5 of this season, but I don't have Jesse down, and every time somebody finds out, you know, whether it's Thea Queen or Cat Grant, I put it down in our notes here. And
all right, well, you know what? We could go back and look, but even better, you know, let's let the listeners let us know because I bet
okay.
they can.
Did Jesse
tell us.
Know before this yeah. point? Please,
and
us
if
know.
She did win, you got to tell us which episode too.
Yeah, because we got to go and double check your work.
Right. All right. So that was it. That was all we are talking about this week on Scarlet Velociraptor. Done a little early.
Hang on.
So
Josh. I think you missed an entire section. We still got like 15 minutes left here, bud. You missed an entire section of our notes right here. I'm highlighting it right there. Fine.
It's pink and everything.
Is it showing up pink to you?
It's showing up pink to me. Yes. All right. Let's talk about Henry.
Okay.
My buddy, John Wesley Shipp. I call him my buddy in hopes that he will agree. man alive.
He's
like
going to be down
said,
in Virginia this weekend, and I can't go.
Oh,
he's going to be at
bummer.
Tidewater Comic Con.
All right. Well, hey, John, just give us a call. I mean, we'll hang. We'll find a place to hang. No problem.
Yeah, if you can swing by, that would be fine.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we'd love it. You know, like you said, we saw this coming as soon as he said he was happy and staying. We saw that coming. That's the kiss of death on these superhero shows.
Yeah.
They had a nice big argument, you know, him and Barry about his overconfidence, and yeah, that wasn't a good sign either. But it was nice to see that he got at least one scene with Amanda Pays.
That was great. Hey, do you two know each other? You haven't met, have you?
they almost got to kind of flirt with each other for a minute.
I thought that I just loved the look on Amanda Pays' face when they got introduced because she just had such a huge grin on her face. I think from the show standpoint, you can kind of read it as, oh, she's really kind of interested in Henry, which, you know, you see later when they're like, you know, talking and drinking wine at the party and stuff. But really what I think it was is she's just, oh, you know, she finally gets to spend some screen time with this guy that, you know, she had acted with, you know, 20 years ago.
I'm sad that they won't get to do more potentially.
Maybe.
At least
maybe.
Like that. I can't imagine, even if they do get to do more, I can't imagine it would be, you know, anything like we saw this week, which was fun to watch, but
possibly.
All right. So Zoom comes in, takes him. Let's even it out, man. He had to watch his parents' deaths and he's going to make sure that Barry has to do the same thing. Boy, I tell you what, Flash really, truly is. Barry is responsible for both of his parents' deaths.
He is, isn't he? That is
a heavy burden to bear.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even think of really of it in those terms. But yeah, you're right. Because as a kid, he wasn't, but as an adult, retroactively, he is responsible for his mom's death, and then, of course, responsible for not stopping Zoom before he was able to kill his dad. So,
well, and that's why Zoom killed him. I mean, that's just because of Barry. That was the only reason he killed Henry.
Yeah.
So, but I tell you what, boy, John Wesley Shipp in that scene, or the way they played Henry in that, with the, I mean, he wasn't showing fear. He wasn't. He was telling Barry to be strong.
I love you, Barry.
You know, just listen to me, Barry. Don't listen. Just, you know, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That was such an emotional scene. I knew it was coming. I wasn't. I don't even know what to say. It was really great the way he played it. It was total Henry, because he was still giving advice in a horrible situation to Barry, and he was standing strong and he told Barry with his look and with just those few words, he said, be true to who you are. Be the hero that you have been, and don't stop. That's what he was saying.
Zoom should just learn to let people die sooner so that they don't get a chance to give all these hints on how to beat him. You know, so
I think I think that was making it worse. Well, he thought it was making it worse for Barry.
Probably. And it was. I mean, to end the episode basically on Barry screaming, I was like, oh, they're going to come back and they're going to have like a little, you know, PS to the end of this episode. Nope, that was it. So what a way to go out for the right before the end of the season here.
All right, man. Where does he go from here? Is he going to be a dark Barry again? Because we just now got, like you said, got the happier, you know, more confident Barry. Is he going to be more serious and brooding again? Is he going to have to get over this death the way he got over his?
A whole nother season and a half. I like what Josh tweeted at us after the episode. He says, I think we're in store for a version of The Flash that we never expected. Zero to angry in an at a second. where does he go? I don't know. It's I think he's going to use this in some way, and maybe Zoom really gets the upper hand on this, but it's not gonna stop him.
No, of course not.
It will. What I want to say, it'll harden his convictions, Barry's, and it may, you know, to honor his father and all this kind of stuff, he may just say, no, I'm absolutely not going to kill you, and he may have to come up with another way to do it, like say, well, since I can't beat you, can we just have a race? I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going back to that because that just seems so ridiculous for them to. That's how they tease next week's episode.
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do, but it's got to be more than just a race. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's a race for the world. No, I don't. I don't know.
Well, you know what? We had a little bit of feedback on this. This particular episode, I wanted to just go over real quickly. We're kind of running short on time, but I think we can get through, maybe two or three here. So, now this is this first email was from Josh. I don't know if this is the same Josh that tweeted at us or not, but
hey,
Josh
is a good
name, so we'll read it either way. Josh has a great name. He said, "Hey, like this week's episode. I can't wait to see where it goes next week and how Cisco's last vibe plays into it." So I think he's talking about the vision with Earth 2.
Yeah, with the rupture. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. First thing I'll mention is that is how you kill someone and give it emotional impact. Arrow should take note. So he's referring to Laurel Lance there. Grant Gustin was brilliant in that scene, like always. I agree. I mean, his scream was brilliant. I really thought John Wesley Shipp was the heart of that scene, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought Iris might die after Barry basically asked her out because Earth One doesn't want them together. So Henry dying caught me a bit off guard. Even though Zoom foreshadowed it.
And we told you about that weeks ago. So you need to be listening to us.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it was Henry. So and when I saw him screaming on the trailer last week, I knew it was him. But I loved how Barry didn't think twice to go after Zoom and expose himself to Wally and Jesse. And I thought that was good too. I like Wally's little look.
Iris. He looked after him. Yeah. Yeah, oh, he might have. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? Oh. Let's see. He says, secondly, I really like what they're doing with Wally's character. His attitude after Barry saved him made him super likable. I kind of agree with that. I like how he kind of got on the ball and went all Roy Harper.
He's really turned his, you know, he's turned his life around, and it's, you know, it's not uncommon for, you know, it's just the way that they're expressing this. But, you know, in real life, you know, people have these come to God moments, as you say, and, you know, they like, I can never change. I can never change. I'm a horrible person. And then it's something, you know, completely inspirational happens, and they have to change, and they do. You know, I mean, people are amazing in that way, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, Josh, from Minnesota there. One little note here from Jared. I was thinking about this too, so I wanted to share this one. Hey, guys, I was just listening to an old season one podcast last night and got me wondering about General Eiling in his hunt for Grodd. Where has he been all season? Seems like either helping or interfering with Team Flash with the breaches, and that's all. And all that's happened this season would have been right up his alley. No sight of his doppelganger either. Hmm. Are they possibly saving him for when Grodd makes another eventual return? In regard, before I go to the second part there, Grodd, I am thinking, and even with the little split of Earth 2 there, that Grodd may play into next season more than this one, although that would be a budget issue. So I'm not sure how that would
work. Yeah, we got, Grodd in the first half of the season and King Shark in the second half. So
yeah,
those are.
But that would be kind of cool if he was the big bad guy, because Grodd is a big bad guy in Flash. So
yeah,
that would be kind of cool if it was him. So
And he is a big bad guy.
He's very big and very bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had all that right, but the guy part, didn't I? In regards to this week's episode, how has Singh reached captain ranking if he can't point out how Barry appeared coincidentally just seconds after the Flash disappeared?
He's not a scientist. And a captain doesn't mean you're a detective, you know. So
I think he's looking the other way at quite a few things, even when he said to Joe.
Yeah.
He's like, do I want to know? No.
No, nah, I don't want to know.
Okay. and last quick reference is a possible the way Harry said, and here we go, is a subtle nod to the way Heath Ledger's Joker said that line in Dark Knight. Not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
It didn't occur to me.
Yeah, I didn't put that together. That's an interesting idea. I mean, you put it together, so, I mean, sure, it's a good idea there.
Yeah, it could be. And I think there was another reference here we'll talk about in a second from another comic book movie. So, let's do one more. Let's do one.
Okay.
This is a short one. Okay.
Yeah, this one was from Henry, not Henry from the show, but another Henry. We got a lot of names that are just – very repetitive.
Henry, Josh, show. I think Jay has emailed us times.
So anyway, Henry says, hey guys, I love the show and enjoy listening every Saturday. One question though, when Jessie got out of her coma, she didn't have super speed, whereas Barry did. Any thoughts? Mm. And then he signs it Henry, R.I.P.
Oh no!
Too soon.
Oh, Henry, so, I'm so sorry that you're not going to hear this response, but... Or maybe he's talking about Henry Allen in that case. But
so what do you think? Why wouldn't she have super speed?
Well, I think I mentioned last week or the week before even that when, you know, the particle accelerator wave hit them, it was different than what happened to Barry. And it had – remember, Barry was having the chemicals pumped into him as opposed to splashed on him for however they did that in the first episode. And so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. You know, and Wally got hit too, and he didn't go into coma and he didn't seem to have power. So, but basically the question is which one of them is going to get their speed first and how do they all already have the seed of that?
I would say it's because she just didn't incubate for the 8 months or whatever Barry did. Uh-huh. Like his body was going through all these changes, you know, kind of a metamorphosis, and Barry touched her and, you know, woke her up, kind of jump-started her, from whatever she was in.
That's a really good point. That even without the coma, Barry didn't get his speed for, I think it was like 9 months.
Yeah, something like that.
And she's only been out for, what, a day or something? Hmm. Oh, I didn't think about that. All right. Well, hey, let's cruise through a few references real quick. There were a couple of them.
And I think you got a couple here that I didn't even get. So, at the beginning, Iris mentions in her voiceover something about In Blackest Night, which was talking about Geoff Johns earlier. So that was one of his storylines, Blackest Night, but it was a Green Lantern. I mean, it was through the whole DC universe, but it was focused on the Lantern Corps and stuff. We had Beats by Wells with the headphones that he made.
Nice little headphones. What happened to Jesse's headphones? Were they just faulty or something?
I guess so. Like, obviously, you know, he only made two pair and he didn't check them closely enough or something. But yeah, I want to say, like, you know, I felt like it was they were shorting out or something. Mm. They basically just weren't working. So they mentioned a dimensional tuning fork, which is kind of going back to our Crisis on Infinite Earths talk. There was a cosmic tuning fork that was something that was used by the monitor to help stop the anti-monitor, which if you've never read Crisis on Infinite Earths, that sentence probably made absolutely no sense at all. So
I think you could put it together.
So give me this next one here. I didn't even pick up on this quote.
Oh,
here.
Really? You didn't? Oh, it really stood out to me. When Barry's talking to, I guess it was Singh, right, at the police department, and he says to him, hey, we're all part of the same team. Oh, that's total Christopher Reeve.
Oh, that right. From Superman the movie, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, even the way he said it was, you know, I mean, other than the vibrating, you know, voice box thing. But,
right.
it just, oh, that just really threw me back.
Oh, that's
back
good.
The 70s
yeah.
There.
I didn't even catch up on that. And then, but this quote I got when Barry says at the end, I think it was to Iris, he's like, may the Speed Force be with us, as, you know, like from Star Wars.
Yeah. There's been a lot of Star Wars references in movies and TV shows we've been watching lately.
It's on everyone's mind.
Captain America, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now Flash, there you go. So
Yeah. So I think that was there were probably a couple other things we missed, but that was a good sampling there.
Yeah, there you go. So, well, Cisco's always got good ones anyway. So, all right, man. Well, we've got to run, man. There's so much to talk about in this episode, even stuff I didn't want to. We managed to fit it in there, but for this week, we'll just gear ourselves up for the pain and anguish of the season finale next week.
Well, I'm glad I could help you through that and bring out you know, your ability to talk about this, because the only way you're going to heal is to talk about it, right?
It is. Can I have a hug too? That'll help.
Sure. Here you go.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
And if you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave us some feedback on iTunes. That would be awesome. You can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com, like Josh did, or tweet at us on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity, like Josh did, or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast, like Josh did. There were three different Joshes, I think.
We've got the hordes of fans. They're going to start to think we're making up these names.
Hey, I got a question I want to ask, Josh. What name should we use? I don't know. Let's use Josh.
Yeah, let's do that. Make it sound good. All right. Well, you can check out our other shows too, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and that is wrapping up next week as well, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which wrapped up this week. Those are all at randomchatter.com, and of course you can get those through iTunes and also through Stitcher for Android or iOS.
That's great, man. I am just so happy right now. I just can't tell you.
Are you happy?
What? No. I mean I'm concerned. I'm very worried.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Well, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love for you to share it with your friends, and they can listen to us and join in on the fun. And if whether they're named Josh or Henry or Jay, it doesn't matter. It can be anybody. So just let them know, and we'd love to hear what they have to say about the show and our discussion. So, and remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.